Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 for now. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas or Judah and his brethren. I'm going to preach on the topic, Fulfilled and Astonished. I hope to get the introduction done today. In the next couple of weeks, I'll take a look at Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9, and we'll see what we can see. Heavenly Father, Lord, we look to you. Lord, we need you. I confess that I can't preach by myself. I can't study by myself. I can't walk the Christian walk by myself. I need Jesus to hold my hand. I need to hear the voice behind me, as it says in Isaiah, "Don't go to the left, don't go to the right. This is the way, walk ye therein." Lord, we need the Holy Spirit to help us to live and to walk and to exemplify the Christian life. And to that end, Lord, please help us as we study your word. Fulfilled and Astonished. I want to take a look at fulfilled first. And I'm going to read passages today, and you're going to say, "Well, I know that passage. I've read that. I've heard that taught in Sunday school, or we've recited it, or what have you." And that's correct. Familiar passages. Again, we're in Matthew chapter 1. Let's start at verse 16 and go to 25. "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary." See, I told you, you knew this stuff. "Of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ," or Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. And in verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise," or it went this way. "When as his mother Mary was espoused," or engaged, "to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Again, we've heard this all our lives. But in verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, or they didn't have sex, until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And they called his name Jesus. Again, a very familiar passage. But it says that the birth of Christ was on this wise. This is the way it happened. In fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Again, the title of the sermon, Fulfilled and Astonished. This is the fulfilled part. You can go to Isaiah chapter 14. And just in a minute, we'll read another passage. You can go to Isaiah chapter 9. And you can see that the things that are in the Gospels were foretold, and then they came to pass. Isaiah spoke and wrote down what he spoke or whatever hundreds of years before Jesus was born. Again, God knows the future. God can tell you the future, and he does tell us by his prophets. And there's a number of ways you could look at this. Certainly one is that fulfilled prophecy is proof that the Bible is true and that the gospel message is true. I've taught previously on Daniel, and many others have taught the passage. Daniel chapter 9, it's around verse 27 or so. I don't have it in front of me. But it talks of Daniel's 70 weeks. It says, and it's in different language and different mentality than we're used to, but it counts up 69 weeks. And then it says that Messiah would be cut off, but not for himself. But 70 weeks, and it's weeks of years, so it's 483 years while they were in Babylon, while they were in captivity, the Jews were, due to their disobedience and their idolatry, their worship of other gods, God sent them to be judged and to be cleansed of idols. But he said, from the commandment to go and build Jerusalem again until Messiah the Prince is exactly 483 years to the day. When Jesus made that triumphant ride into Jerusalem on the back of that donkey with the other one tied beside, that was prophesied, again, to the exact day when it would happen. God told the future through the prophet Daniel. And that's fantastic. But then the 70th week, the one remaining week of years, the seven remaining years to that prophecy, it talks about the return of Christ. And we know that no man knows the day or the hour. Anybody stands up and says, well, he's coming back on such and such a day or a year or whatever, and they habitually tell us. False prophets habitually rise up and say that, well, I know when the rapture is going to occur, or I know when this or that, or they're all wrong. Now, they're right in the fact that the end times will happen. They're right in that part, but that's the only thing that they have right. When they begin to name a specific chronology and pinpoint a day, by default, they are wrong. But, and here's the point I'm trying to make, the first advent, the first coming of Christ, was foretold to the day, to the exact day, 483 years in advance. But the Bible proclaims that Jesus is going to return to this earth. When? We don't know. But in the same two or three verses of Scripture, it talks of the first coming and the second coming. We know the first one happened exactly as it was foretold. And many other prophets, Isaiah, for instance, as we're studying here, told of the coming of Christ. So we know for a certainty, again, no man knows the day or the hour, but we know for a certainty that Jesus Christ is coming back just as it was foretold. If you can trust in the first account, if you can trust in the first prophecy, you have to trust in the second one. You have to trust that he's coming back. And in that knowledge, we ought to live right. We ought to try to live good Christian lives. And secondly, we ought to try to tell as many people as we can the great gospel story, because the rapture will occur. The tribulation will happen. And by then, it'll pretty much be too late. But let's take a look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 through 17. You know about John the Baptist. Well, he was eventually arrested and then beheaded. But it says, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And he left Nazareth, and he came to Capernaum, which is by the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, or Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, in the land of Zebulun and in the land of Naphtali, by the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them that sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Again, when John was cast into prison, when they arrested him and eventually beheaded him, when Jesus got that news, he packed up and went to Galilee. He left Nazareth, and he came to Capernaum, a different city. And it says it's on the seacoast, and it says it's near the border of Zebulun and Naphtali. But his packing up and going live in a different place is a fulfillment of this same prophet Isaiah, his prophecy, and he named the place that he would be. Again, think of that. Jesus deciding where to live. And from there, he pretty much started his ministry. Isaiah the prophet, hundreds of years before, foretold that Jesus would change addresses, that he would move to a different parish or whatever, different county. Again, the things that we read and are familiar with in the New Testament, they're all fulfillments of Old Testament prophecy. And as I said earlier, that's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. But if you do read Isaiah chapter 9, read at least through verse 7, because it's another description of the birth and ministry of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hey, wait, preacher, I've heard that. Yeah, you have heard it before. These are the Beatitudes, and this sermon, chapter 5, 6, and 7 in Matthew, that's the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, if you want God, if you want to live right, if you want to believe the Bible and try to live by it, and God puts a hunger in your heart and a thirst in your soul for the right things, for righteousness, if you reject what's common today, if you reject the politics, if you reject the social pressure, if you reject woke and institutional racism, if you reject the ideas that are common today and you just want Jesus, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, I mentioned woke and racism and what have you for a reason. Because if you want to stand for God, if you want to stand for the things that your parents and your grandparents believed in, and you're overwhelmed by this tidal wave of new culture, new ideas, and you feel condemned and rejected and canceled, perhaps, for simply wanting it how it used to be 50 years ago. You know, I like to watch some television. One of the things I watch is Westerns. And occasionally the bad guy would win, but usually, 90% of the time, the bad guy ended up dead or in jail, went to Yuma prison or something. And all the cop shows that ever since I remember as a kid, I've watched cop shows. The cops generally win and the bad guy goes to jail. Well, nowadays it's all turned around. If you riot in Portland, you as much as get a medal. And if your house or your family business, mom and pop, whatever, gets destroyed, well, nobody cares. And the cops are told to stand down and not protect you, not do the protect and serve part that's on their badge and printed on the side of the cop car. No, no, we have to get rid of the cops. We have to defund the police. And I'm sorry, but that's all wrong. You know it and I know it, and they, the ones that are doing it, know it. And I don't really want to talk about the politics behind it, but it's overwhelming. But Jesus said, Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you, talk bad about you, call you horrible. You don't want woke, well, you must be a racist. I'm sorry, that's horrible. If you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, you're blessed when people call you nasty names and make false charges and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And you can run through the list. Jeremiah was thrown in the well and left for dead for a while. Jesus talked about how many were stoned and put to death simply for preaching, hey, this is the truth. Why don't we open the Bible, read it, believe it, and obey it? No, we're going to take you out and stone you. And Jesus himself was marched out of the city, nailed to a cross, and he hung and bled and died. But as everybody testified, this man has done no wrong. You know, we're experiencing evil in our lives. BLM is evil. You don't like what they'll say, they'll dox you. They'll put your private information, your address, your list of your family members, or whatever personal information, they'll put it all over the web, and all the wackos will come and descend in your house and give you grief. You say something against woke or BLM, or you're upset about Major League Baseball and their stand, and you kind of don't want to drink any more Cokes because of their stand about woke and what have you. You complain, and you can be canceled. But you should rejoice that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You should rejoice that God is on your side. And if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, you're in good company. You know, we're experiencing this nonsense now, and I'm here to tell you it's only going to get worse. This country's going to continue to circle the drain and be flushed right out of existence. You know, I care about this country. I love this country, but it's about over, honestly. Oh, don't be so negative. Well, I'm just looking at what's happening. But Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its savor, if salt becomes not salty, what's it good for? And you can't put the salt flavor back in it. It's not any good no more, but to throw it out in the street. In those days, they didn't have garbage pickup. They threw their stuff out in the street. I've been down to Haiti 5 trips. I've been to other places, Mexico, what have you, and in certain places, and certainly all over Haiti, the garbage is thrown in the street, just as in Bible days. He said, you're the light of the world, because you have the gospel. You have the only thing that will save, the gospel of Jesus Christ. A city that's set on a hill can't be hid. And it says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a basket, but you put the candle on the candlestick high up on the wall, and the whole room is lit. He said in verse 16, again, Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you're persecuted for righteousness, if you have enemies simply because your skin is white, rejoice, he said. And in another place, I can turn to Luke and show you, I suppose, he said that pray for your enemies. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Don't respond so much to the politics and the culture it's inside out. God said, woe unto him that calls evil good and good evil. Well, we're living in the time of woe, because that's exactly what cancel culture and all of this stuff is. Again, our response should not be an eye for an eye or to get even. You should love those that persecute you. You should pray for them and care for them. And if you have a chance to do good, or say a nice word, do so. And remember, you're the light of the world. Continue to preach Jesus Christ or to testify of him. If you're standing in line at Walmart and you have a chance to talk to somebody, do it. However you're able to preach or to testify, don't stop doing that. But he said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Christ's ministry was a fulfillment of the Old Testament. And he says, verily or truly I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle, not one dotted I or crossed T shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled. You know, God is in control. Looking at the big picture, God is in control. God will still watch after his own. He still wants us to go and carry out the Great Commission. He still wants us to live for him, because God is in control. You know, I read the back of the book talking about the woke and the cancel and all of that stuff and the persecution and the upside down world that we live in today. I read the back of the book and we win. Hallelujah, we win. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net and click the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 3111 46th Street, Metairie, Louisiana 7001. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.